We're making the turn here on our 2018 Masters Preview. Chip Patterson here for the First Cut Podcast. If you have not listened to part one, then go back to your feed and go up and make sure that you download that one as well. That's got our picks to win along with our top 10 locks and some of the initial storylines. If you are a loyal listener of this podcast, then you know that one of the things that we love more than anything is to talk over-unders. And so for it, part two, I have prepared 18, one for every magical hole at Augusta National, 18 over-unders for the 2018 Masters that Kyle is about to hear for the first time. And he's about to run down and give his over or under picks, everything from what we're expecting from Tiger Woods, Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, to what we're expecting from Kyle in terms of his peach ice cream sandwich consumption. It's a lot of fun. Hope you enjoy the show. But don't forget that if you want to be able to get Masters coverage, you're going to be able to get it online. You're going to be able to get it on CBS. But you're also going to be able to get all kinds of analysis. All kinds of analysis on CBSSportsHQ.com. That is the latest way to get scores, news, and highlights for golf and all your favorite sports. It is a brand new 24/7 streaming channel. They cover the biggest games, the best plays. They got crucial insights from around sports. There will be updates all the time going on regarding the Masters. So if you want to see highlights and if you can't get to in front of a television, well, guess what? It's on your phone. It's on your Apple TV. It's on your Roku, your Amazon Fire, any connected devices. Or, of course, you can watch online at CBSSportsHQ.com. Come check us out, CBSSportsHQ.com. All right, part two. Mega Masters Preview. All right, are you ready to get into some over-unders?
Yeah, let's do it. I'm fired up. I have not seen these purposefully because I want my hottest take, my hottest reaction to what you have to serve up to me.
Okay, some of these I got some assistance for, just scanning the different assorted props. Others, you will notice there's no way that you can actually make a wager on these. So we'll start with a pretty basic one. Winning score to par, 280, which is 8 under. Over under.
Yeah, I'm going under. My score that I submitted was 279.
So right around now, there.
Yeah, I think what's going to be interesting in terms of how this is all affected is the weather, which I know that I think we were going to maybe talk about that. It's supposed to be cold and rainy on Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so
it might snow here in North Carolina.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But it actually made me feel better about my Ricky pick, because I've always viewed him as a good bad weather player. Now if it's like a heavy overnight rain and then just a little chilly, that's going to be more for the Rory DJ Bubba crowd,
right?
But if it's like kind of sideways and they're thinking about canceling it or delaying it, and it's cold and everybody's got the rain gear out, like that, I feel good about Ricky in that scenario.
Okay. I'm going to jump down to another one, 'cause this is tied into that. So on, number 12, par three, it was like 155 or something, like the shorter par three, number 12, right there, heart of Amen Corner.
I've got my yardage book from last year. Let me grab it.
Stop bragging. All right. So the over under is the stroke average for number 12 on Saturday. 3.5 over under.
That's a good one.
For reference, I think the stroke average on number 12 right now all time is hovering somewhere around 3.3.
Okay. That's hard because you've got the cuts already been made. I'll say over, because if it's rainy and windy, people are going to be clueless.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, swirling winds, Ray's Creek is just going to be gobbling it up on Saturday.
Yeah, I'll go over. I like that. That's a good one.
All right. Okay. Most strokes on any one hole, over under 8.5.
Yeah, I'll go under. I think 8 is the number. I was actually looking at this today because I was trying to find the most strokes ever, or the highest. Like, what's the worst anybody's ever played a hole?
Is and there was 11? There's an 11, right?
Tom Weisskopf made a 13 on number 12 in 1980.
Oh, that's so sad.
And then
sad.
An Asian guy whose name I can't pronounce made a 13 on number 13 in 1978. So I think those are the two highest.
I feel like we'll get an 8, but I think I do agree with you. I think that's the highest. When I looked at the props for this one, 8 was the number. I added the 0.5 just to introduce a little bit of danger to it, but I think 8's a good number.
The hardest hole traditionally, by the way, ever?
Is it 10?
And yeah.
Yeah. It's tough.
0.3 strokes over par. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one. All right. This one is another part of our expert picks. I didn't want to break it out. I haven't seen your answer on this one. Lowest round of any day, lowest round 65.5 over and under.
I said 66, so I'll go over.
Over? Who do you think? Do you think it'll be 66 by a golfer who will be the winner or be in contention? Or do you think it'll be one of those one of those like below the fold 66s that we get from someone else in the field who maybe uses that and gets a top 20 finish out of it?
Yeah, the one round wonder.
One round wonder, that's right.
I think it's going to be like a Matthew Fitzpatrick.
I like that.
Like just like a 66 in round two, and you're like, oh, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Ryder Cup, it's going to be crazy. But he's not going to win.
Highest round, 82.5.
Well, Ian Woosnam's playing.
This is such a sad one to consider because you have to think, who's going to fire an 84 at Augusta this year?
Yeah, I'm going to go over that. I think, hold on, let me look up Woozy. Ian Woosnam last year shot a 78, 76. Year before that, he was 82, 81. There's a couple the firefighter amateur I'm a little concerned about. That might go badly. Yeah, I'll go over.
Over 82 and a half, Kyle says. Hole in ones in tournament play Thursday through Sunday, over under 0.5.
It is crazy. There haven't really been a ton of holes in one historically. But there have been a lot in the last 3 or 4 years, it seems like.
16 seems to give us one almost every year at some point.
Yeah. You had Kuchar last year. You might have had a couple last year, actually. But I remember Kuchar on Sunday, which was awesome. I'll go over because it's so not fun to go under.
That's what I know. And I didn't want to set it at 1, and I didn't want to set it at 1.5. Yeah, you got to go. You got to go 0.5 on this one. So and you got to go over. All right, hole in ones, par 3 contest, over under 3.5.
Over. I didn't forget about it, but I just don't really think about it. Justin Thomas Instagram the photo of him. Remember when him and Ricky made back to back, or was it him and Spieth made back to back aces?
I thought it was him and Ricky.
I think it was him and Ricky, and then Spieth like hit the flag or something.
I think that the hole in ones at the par 3 contest is one where the way that I start thinking about it is like, all right, so when one of us, you know, whether it's the trending team or Kyle or Chip, is going to just eventually have to put together the 10 sickest shots of the par 3 contest. how many hole-in-ones are there going to be? And I feel like we've had 4 or 5 in recent years, including, as you mentioned, like the back-to-back situation with JT, and I do think it was Ricky.
Yeah, there's this doesn't have how many aces there were, but it does have winning score. Jimmy Walker had a 19 last year. That's crazy.
That is crazy. I didn't include it because I'm not really that into the par three contest, but I did see that one, the over under for the winning scores at 21.5. So 19 is very crazy.
Yeah, that's wild. Ted Potter won it in 2013, by the way.
By the way, he's ready to defend it here at Augusta National. Do you when you're there, how do you split up your time on Wednesday?
Yeah, I go to the par three. I don't go to the whole thing because, I mean, once you've seen it, you know. But, like, I followed Phil around 1 year, which was obviously a delight. It's fun. That's one of my favorite kind of nooks of the golf course. I love going over there on Saturday and Sunday morning just to kind of be by myself and, I don't know, just think. And it's so quiet. It's so peaceful. So I love going over and just kind of sitting there on the weekend whenever the par three isn't going on.
That's your meditation, get your mind right part of the course. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
All right, let's get into some player-related over-unders. This one, I think, is... all right, let me just throw it at you. Rory McIlroy, total putts on Sunday. Got it?
Got it.
Over under 30.5.
Well, I would hope under. I'll go under. And part of it is...
Comfortably under? I was trying to figure out where to set this one because I was like, maybe 28.5, 29.5. Is he chasing? Is he fighting him off? You know, are we factoring in the fact that, you know, he could have a two putt, but the two putt may be for birdie, you know, on holes where he's setting himself up with an eagle look?
Yeah, I don't have him in my top five. And so because of that, I feel like it's going to be he's T14 going into Sunday and he shoots like a 69 to finish T8 or something like that, you know? And so if that's the case, I could see him having just like a, you know, he plays really free on Sunday, especially when he's not, even when he is in the mix, he seems to really play well on Sunday. It's the other rounds that he struggled with. He's only had, how about this, Chip? He's only had three rounds. He's played 18 Thursdays and Fridays. He's only had three rounds in the 60s. And two of those were in 2011 when he opened, I think he opened 65, 68, 65, 69, something like that.
Wow.
And he's only had one other since then.
I don't like that.
Uh-uh.
I don't like that at all. Okay, well,
I got it pulled up. He shot 65, 69, and 11. He had a 69 in round 2 and 12, and nothing else in the first two rounds in the 60s.
Mm. All right, so I don't feel as great about this one. Rory McIlroy, lowest round. I had it at 65.5, but I wanted to do that as a statement to say... Because I think 65.5 is what I had for the lowest round, with the idea that Rory McIlroy is one of the few players of the top players that I feel like has the ability to go super low. So I'm guessing you're taking over on 65.5, Rory McIlroy, lowest round.
Yeah, I'll go over.
I mean, what you just said is pretty good evidence to defend your position. I mean, if after you just read that out to me, I would have, if Chip the odds maker, readjust to like 67.5 for lowest round.
Well, he does have in his last five Sundays, he's got four rounds in the 60s. So to back up my previous point, he goes low on Sundays. The issue is just the first 3 days.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would go over that. I would say he shoots like a 68 on Sunday or something.
Rory is so fascinating, especially here at Augusta. It's a golfer that I love to root for and I love to watch him play, particularly when he's hot. But man, I don't think I'm gonna take him on my fantasy team. You know, because when I'm looking at draft and we're doing real live snake drafts with other real live people, and I'm putting together my 1 week fantasy golf team, I can't deal with that kind of uncertainty and instability. So golf fans, you know, in case you haven't heard about this by far, you need to get on. If you love golf, then try my new favorite app. It's called Draft. It's weekly fantasy golf, but on Draft, you play real live snake drafts with other people. So, Rory, I am not real high on. Phil Mickelson, my pick to win, that is who I'm targeting in the first round of snake drafts. And drafts last for just 1 week, and they take as little as 2 minutes to complete. Once you're done drafting, that's it. Just sit back and watch the points roll in. And there's drafts that start every couple of minutes, so you could join one right now. Heck, we might end up playing against each other. And here's the best part. You're playing for cold hard cash. Drafts start from just $1, so there's a draft for everyone. So join me on Draft today. Just search Draft in your app store or play right from your computer at draft.com. And for a limited time only, all First Cut listeners will get a free entry into a real money golf draft when you make your first deposit. So you've got to make a deposit. You can't just sign up and then all of a sudden you get all this free First Cut. But if you make a deposit, use that promo code First Cut. That's right. FIRSTCUT, all one word, First Cut in the promo code, and then you will get entered into a real money game for free just by using the promo code First Cut, but you have to make that first deposit. So search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com, sign up, make a deposit, use the promo code First Cut, and get in free entry into a real money game. Who knows? We might end up playing against each other. If we do, and if we were drafting against each other, don't take Phil Mickelson. That's my guy. It's draft.com or draft in your app store, promo code First Cut. Tiger Woods, birdies or better, holes of birdies or better, over under 12 and a half.
Tiger, holes of birdies or better. I'll go over.
How many do you, how, like, and what's your thinking there?
Well, I think Tiger's issue is going to be, so he was always so great at saving par, right?
Right.
Like he just avoided bogeys. He avoided doubles. I think this year, I think he's going to be able to score. I just think he's going to have a couple doubles or several bogeys, and just and that's sort of what we've seen from him throughout the year. That's what we saw at I think it was at Honda. Like, he led the field in scoring, but he had so many bogeys and doubles that he finished 12th. And so I sort of see that from him at Augusta this year.
So that's Tiger Woods bogeys or worse, over under 7.5.
Over.
So you've got more birdies. So like 13, 14 or 15 holes that are going to be birdies or better. And you're thinking like 8 or 9, like you're thinking that this is going to be a colorful scorecard for Tiger Woods at the Masters.
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of the way his season is trending. Like, he's been unbelievable in terms of, like, we've talked about club head speed and approach shots and all these different things, just magnificent. But he's like 105th in par 5 scoring average right now.
Mm.
And so I think that you're going to see him hit it into the water on 13, or like try to do things that he maybe used to be able to do, and just is, you know, it's such a game of inches. Like, maybe he gets a bad bounce on because he can't quite put it where he used to or wants to or needs to or whatever. So yeah, I think he ends the week with like 16 birdies and 9 bogeys on a double or something like that.
Ooh. All right. Tiger Woods low round, over under 67.5. I think he can go 67. I don't think it could be 66, but I think he's got a 67 in him.
Yeah, based on my prediction, I'll say 60. I say he shoots a 67 on Friday and people just
lose their minds.
Lose it going into the weekend.
I feel like a 68 is not a lot. Like, I can't say anyone, even Tiger Woods shooting a 68 in a single round at Augusta is a lock. But I think that I agree with you. I think that we're going to see a 69 or a 68 for sure. And I think a 67 is absolutely possible.
Yeah, I'll go under.
Tiger Woods high round, 73.5.
Over.
Ooh, do you think he hit 75?
Yeah, No, I think he shoots like a 74 on Saturday.
Okay. So, but that you would say that number is probably about right, somewhere in that 73 to 75 range.
Yeah. So Saturday is going to be. I think what happened to Rory in 16 happens to Tiger this year, where he's in it like just or leading going into Saturday, and then it's just like he's it's a long tiring week. Saturday's bad weather, and he just is. He's just kind of out of it. Like he just kind of isn't feeling it. You know. So yeah, I think he shoots like a 74 on Saturday and falls out of contention and then has a good Sunday and finishes T9.
Mm. Jordan Spieth, low round, 66.5.
Where did I have Spieth finishing? I think, right, I'm second. Would you say 66.5? God, yeah. 65 is so low. I'll say over. I'll say she's a 66 or 67.
Okay, so if I gave him the 67.5, you would go under.
Yeah, I think he'll shoot a 67.
Nice. Let's see. We got Jordan Spieth high round, 72.5.
Over.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think he shoots. I think he has a 73 or something in him. Something that's just
he gets too slappy. Gets too slappy. Yeah.
No, it just doesn't make any putts that he has made in the past. There again, I think he's gonna have a great week. But I think that we forget. Like if you average something around 71, you're a historically great golfer at the Masters. And so I think that, yeah, I think he'll shoot like a 73.
Jordan Spieth, over under. Okay, Jordan Spieth over under the longest pre-shot chit-chat with Michael Greller, over under, set at the Gettysburg Address, which is 272 words.
Oh, we need another What Would Arnie Do?
Does he need to be in contention for us to get the long chats? Like you've been, does he extend those chats when he's not in contention? Like, is there any correlation between the talking and, like where he is in the field and on the leaderboard?
Well, I don't know about extending them, but I do know that in 16, he didn't say very many words at all. After he hit two in the water at 12. So I don't know if he needs to be playing well or like you said, in contention, but it can go pretty badly in a hurry.
Yeah. So what is it, over or under?
272. I'll say there's a rules situation. And so we go over. I hope there's a rules situation. That'd be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Get Patrick Reed in the booth for commentary after he misses the cut.
I guess if my name was Jordan Spieth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. Kyle Porter, peach ice cream sandwiches consumed.
Oh, gosh.
Not. We are not counting early. This is only during championship play, Thursday through Sunday. Okay. So, can't factor in I could not factor in the gorge that's probably going to happen right when you get there, you know, just really diving in it, going hard. I'm trying to think about when are you going to be pacing yourself the best on these peach ice cream sandwiches Thursday through Sunday, over under 5.5.
So last night I sort of laid out some of my goals for the week. Like I have some exercise goals, some book reading goals, just some non-work goals that I want to get done. And one of them is literally don't eat too many peach ice cream sandwiches.
I mean, so I didn't realize that. So it's peach ice cream between two sugar cookies.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's one of the great inventions of our time. It's like the wheel fire. My dad thinks DVR is a top 10 invention of all time, which is probably a little overstating it a little, but it peach ice cream sandwiches at Augusta are up there.
So over 5.5?
I'll go under.
Okay. Here was my thought. Can I paint out the thinking behind 5.5? Do you mind?
Well, let me explain. Right. Yeah, let me explain it to you real quick. What I do is I'll cut them in half. So I'll get one, cut it in half, and then only eat half of it. Because you still get the second half of it it's diminishing returns. And so then later in the day, you can just have another half, and it's sort of the same. You get the same enjoyment, more or less.
How do you keep them cold?
Well, you go get another one and cut it in half again.
Okay.
don't tell the good people of Augusta that I'm throwing away half of their peach ice cream sandwiches.
Cannot believe you just admitted that on the podcast. My thinking was definitely one per day, with the weather maybe leading to more time inside on Saturday, which would just, you know, more time around these peach ice cream sandwiches. All right, cool, I'll have another one. And then I was thinking that it was probably going to be over with the final one being in the midst of wrapping things up. All right, okay, one more ice cream sandwich as I finish off this Rory Slam column. So I was thinking like Thursday through Sunday, it's one per day with an extra one on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, that's good thinking. I'm going to try to keep it under, though, so I'll go under.
Yeah. Brendan Porath, Monster Energy drinks consumed. And it is very important, again, as we are not trying to put anybody on blast, I'm going to say on or off property, but Thursday through Sunday, Monster Energy drinks consumed by Brendan Porath, over under 9.5. That's an absurd number, but I had to put an absurd number on an absurd over under.
I just want Porath to order like a mixed drink that's like he tweeted out the during the Arnold Palmer that about Tiger drinking a Hooter cane. That's like half Monster and half, I don't know what else is in it. That's what I want. I want that photo of it. So if we're counting those, yeah, I'll go under. I think I'm worried for his health if he goes over that.
Are y'all staying near each other?
I don't know. I don't know where he's staying, but I'm sure there will be some nights of just Monster talk and consuming. It'll be great. We'll be getting together a lot.
Yeah, that's the situation where like you start to become a little bit concerned that being too on brand is like very dangerous for your health and well-being.
Yeah. Well, did you see the picture that he took with Sean Zach?
Uh-uh.
Did you see this? So Sean Zach and Dylan, I can't pronounce his last name, from golf.com are driving down to Augusta, and they stopped in DC and did a podcast with Porath, and they took a picture of him with like a flight of Monsters in front of him. So it's like six different Monsters.
Yeah.
And our group chat made that our group photo.
Is
Porath and his Monsters.
Oh man. That's awesome.
So good.
Well, that's it. That's 18 over unders.
I love it. That was fun. We did it. We made it. All of our podcasts.
We figured it out one way or another. Kyle Porter, you can follow him on Twitter at Kyle Porter CBS. He's going to be there on the grounds. Do you get, the, like when you're following a group, they let you have your phone. You just can't be like snapping photos and making a scene. But are you tweeting from the course, or are you waiting until you're in the tent?
No, I gotta come back. No phones on the course. You can have it in the media center.
Right.
But that's it. And that was what happened in 16. I was with Spieth and that group. He was with Smiley in the final pairing, which was crazy. But when Spieth hits it in the water on 12, the first thing I typed when I came back was, I have seen unspeakable things.
I remember that. I was working.
And so, yeah, no phones on the course other than, yeah, not at all. I don't even think you can do it practice rounds, you can do camera, but still no phones. So
I was coming off of the NCAA tournament and the Carolina loss with Jordan in the building. It was the spring of crying Jordan. And when Jordan Spieth needed to be crying Jordan, I knew my calling. I knew that what I needed to do.
Yeah, it was the best crossover crying Jordan that we've gotten for golf. By the way, did you see the Sister Jean crying Jordan where she was holding the L?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
The internet, man. They're going to come for anybody.
That might be my second favorite one ever. My favorite one is the Aaron Rodgers collarbone.
Crying Jordan?
His skeleton got the skeleton of his collarbone got the X-ray got crying Jordan.
I had forgotten about that one.
It was the greatest.
That's too good. All right. Make sure you follow him. He will be there on site. And you can follow me at Chip_Patterson. I'll be live blogging and firing off as many overreactions and instant reactions as possible. So make sure you can get that on CBS Sports. You can see all the Masters preview content. And I've said this, I think, on the podcast, but definitely off podcast too. If you assemble the 10 to 12 written pieces that Kyle has put together for you, it would be like the best preview mag. He is the Phil Steele of the Masters. Go read all of it between now and the start of action on Thursday. That will make you a more informed golf fan. Kyle, thank you very much.
Thanks, Chip. Looking forward to covering Augusta this week with you.